Father, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation that I might know you. Lord, open the eyes of my heart so that I might see, Lord, the hope to which you have called me. Teach me, Father, to walk in that hope. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I want to look at one text that we look at more than one text, but a text that literally jumped off the pages of the Bible and punched me right on my nose. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. See, there are portions we keep on reading all through our life, and then suddenly the Holy Spirit says, stop there and go back and look at it. And actually it's 2 and 3. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father. If you really want to read Paul in the book of Acts, the history and the letters, if you really, really, really were so thrilled with the church, it was the church of Thessalonica. As a pastor, when we pastors read these letters, when we come to the letter of Thessalonica, we wish, I wish this was my church. That's why he says, I remember you always. I remember you. Look at verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. He's not there. He's writing to them from somewhere else, sitting in one church or prison and writing to another church. But that's not what I want to talk about today. Look at verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father. We didn't get it. Come to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. It's a chapter on love, we know. It's all about love. But how does that chapter end? Now abide faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of this is? Love. Okay, now go back to that portion again. What does faith do? The work of faith, labor of love, and the patience of hope. This is how it works out. You work in faith. You don't labor in faith. You work in faith. But love, you want to walk in love, it's a labor. It's a real hard, back-breaking labor to walk in love. When you worked in faith and labored in love, God said there is patience, perseverance that is built in you. Then when you look forward, you know it's the only the hope of glory that is waiting for you. Work of faith and the labor of love and the patience, when these two go together, that is built in us. That's the entire walk to which God has called us. We saw the work of faith of David. We saw the work of faith. All that man wants is to bring the ark in and build the temple. But in the process, there is also a labor of love. The question God is asking is, how do we labor? How do we labor? Whether it is towards God or towards man. Do we find it easy to love God? It's not easy. Do we find it easy to love either God or man? It's not a work, it's a labor. And there's a whole lot of difference between work and labor. Labor includes struggles. Real, really, really, you will have to fight with yourself, especially to love some people. The more you labor in love, please understand, as you succeed, it's not going to get better. Because you have succeeded, God is going to send even more unlovable people into your life. that I have labored and finally learned to love this person and this person, God, now you're going to give me a break. He says, no, I'm going to send even more tough ones. With whom else can I trust? See, for almost 3.5 years, the disciples were walking with Jesus. And all they were seeing was the work of faith. All they were seeing was the work of faith and nothing else. Not that other things weren't happening. They saw the work of faith and missed Jesus' labor of love completely through it all. Are you getting it? It's sometimes we get carried away by the miracles and the works, and we forget to see how it is being worked through it all. They could go to the town and get the food and come back and never think for a moment, how could the Messiah walk through this midday sun and sit there and talk to this Samaritan woman and forget all about the fact that he was hungry? They're not even thinking, what is it that making him do this? Every point, they are missing how Jesus is working out his walk of faith. Sometimes we concentrate so much on our work of faith that we forget the labor of love. Galatians 5:6 says in Galatians 5:6, uncircumcision, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. Doesn't mean much, he says, anymore, but faith working through love. He says if your faith doesn't work through love, it's not worth talking about. If your faith doesn't work through love, it's not worth talking about. We struggle at this faith working through love. We wish that was in there. As long as we have ministered to somebody and he has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, that's over. My work is finished. How many mothers think that way? Now they have delivered, my work is finished. Unreal. They know the work hasn't finished, it has only started. You're carrying, maybe you threw up a few times. They know it is not a big deal. The real labor begins after the delivery, when the baby gives you sleepless nights and you've forgotten what it was to sit and eat. It was to have normal sleeping hours, but nobody gives up. And God is asking us, in our walk of faith, have we forgotten the labor of love? That the whole kingdom is about love and there is labor involved in it. And the people who are coming into the family of God probably are all strangers. Think for a minute. What if people came to our church or any church and said, worship was great, word was good, but nobody talked to me. That's the reason I don't stay. I left the church. Two surveys done of why people have left churches was rarely about the worship or the word. It was about the fellowship. All around the world, it was about the fellowship. They said, worship was good. Word was okay or great. But you know what? Nobody even said hi. Nobody even inquired. Nobody took my phone number. And when I didn't come the next week, nobody even bothered. I read about a person saying that, I went to that church and I was there for 3 or 4 Sundays, and the only time somebody spoke to me was the usher, when the usher said, put your leg down, let somebody pass. That's why Jesus says, you can have incredible faith and talk about doing all these incredible things, but if there is no love, you're just an empty symbol. You know where churches fail in the labor of love. You know where the disciples failed? They failed in the labor of love. That's why towards the end, probably at the end of his ministry, the final lesson Jesus had to give his disciples was about the labor of love, a lesson in love. We have looked at it earlier, certain portions here and there, but I want to look at it again today. John chapter 13 and verses 1 to 17. I want to call it the divine pedicure. Verse 1 onwards. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. You see, before even the action begins, it is said, he loved us till the end, to the uttermost. Loved us to the uttermost. When is this? Before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew his hour had come. I mean, which man, normal man, in his consciousness, knowing that in a matter of few hours, you will be beaten up so badly that people won't even recognize who you are, and then you're going to lie there and die, is thinking about washing your disciples' feet. Supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this." And Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." And Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him, and therefore he said, "You are not all clean." So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you not meditate upon them, but do them." When Jesus uses the word love, he never means it a gooey feeling. He makes it very clear there is real labor involved in it. When it comes to faith, it is work. When it comes to love, it is labor. Whether it is towards God or whether it is towards man. And Jesus is teaching his disciples final lesson before taking off. He's teaching them that, you know what, you're going to do extremely great works of faith, but I want you to never forget, it has to be a labor of love. Otherwise, it's not going to be counted against your name. It won't mean anything in eternity. You see, everybody saw the need. Jesus met the need. Incidents like this in John chapter 13, when unbelievers read the gospel, shock them. And the question they ask is, what kind of a God is this? You know what? We may not agree with all her doctrines, but we lived in a time there was one human being on earth. We have so many celebrities today. And you can see celebrities when you are flying in, they all have to take their airport, you know. So if you see Sachin, you can see everybody going for his autograph. You see Bachchan, everybody running for his autograph. You see Meta Patkar on the social, or the other lady, what's her name? Forgot. Arundhati Roy or anybody, everybody did not know this one. But you know, there's one person for whom everybody stood up when she walked in, was Mother Teresa. No matter which part of the world it was. When she walked in, didn't matter which celebrity was over there. The attention. She was not glamorous. If I'm right, she owned two or three pairs of that striped sari, that's all it. Ate one or two meals a day. She didn't preach great sermons. She did an incredible great work of faith of building that institution called Missionaries of Charity. But more than that, others also have built bigger institutions. But do you know why she was always noticed? Was because it was a labor of love. For most of the unbelieving world, I'm telling you the truth, who did not know the gospel, but had heard about Jesus Christ, she represented him. During her lifetime, for the unbelieving world, if Jesus had a representative, it weren't pastors or bishops or deacons, it was her. She persevered, it was a labor. You need to read the biographies, how she actually began, the kind of hostility she faced, and she never gave up. And she was not even an Indian. Didn't even know the language. God is trying to tell us, the church, you see, so easy if we choose to shut our eyes. I wonder what was going through the minds of the disciples, that if I volunteer, will I be at the bottom of the line? Because the washing of the feet was given to the lowest servant in the household. Or like maybe somebody's, many people's heart in the church, if I volunteer, will I be stuck with this forever? Because this pastor doesn't even remember. He will not only pour the offertory, he will give a choice to two other kids another month. That also sometimes he forgets. So if I say I will come and clean, will that be my work for the rest of my life? People have a lot of reasons for not voluntary. Maybe if I wait, somebody else will do it. He did last time, now it's Matthew's turn. Talking about the Apostle Matthew. Bartholomew must have thought, I got the water and the towel, washing is somebody else's. Somebody else must have thought, Thomas is always missing. This time at least he's there, let him do it. Hebrews 11:6. Oh, we love that portion. Because of one word that is there in Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. It's all about faith. Reason? He's a rewarder. And we all like rewards. Is there anybody who doesn't like rewards? He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we like faith. And we like to hear about faith because he rewards. But when it comes to love, God says it's a labor. Doesn't promise you much rewards. Remember any portion in the Bible, he says, if you labor in love, this is your reward. We look at him and we see he labored in love, and we know what he got. We know all the apostles labored in love, and we know what they got. Yet scripture says, if you don't labor in love, your life is worth nothing. Absolutely nothing. How come it is mentioned it as being the greatest and there are no volunteers? Servanthood begins at home. Either the physical or the spiritual or both. Husbands, love your wife as Today is for husbands, okay? Husbands, love your wife as Christ Jesus. Do you know Christ Jesus washed his wife's feet? Now, I'm not asking husbands to go home today and start washing their feet. That's a lesson over there. When's the last time, men, you help your wife out at home? When's the last time you wash the dishes? If you don't have a maid, mop the floor, did the clothes, said, you take a break today, I'm taking care of the baby. I'm taking an off today so that you can be free from the baby for a whole day. You just take the baby to feed and then give it back to me. Labor. It's not a work of faith, it's a labor of love. I think I went to office and I have done my part. Now the rest is her part. That's not what Jesus said or did. I have preached my sermon on the mount. Now rest is your part. In the house of God. Married men and to be married men. To be married men are now thinking twice. Should I get married or not? If this is what God asked for, I think I would remain single, right? Well, you'll have to serve the church then. Even more. Double portion you'll have to give the church. When it comes to the church, which is his bride, his wife, if you love the head, that is Jesus, can you choose not to labor in love with the body? Laboring in love sometimes could come in one chunk, very rarely, or could come in little pieces. You didn't get it. Let's say 100 rupees. You can have a 100 rupee note. You can have 10 rupee notes. Life could be like suddenly you are asked to give 100 rupees or you are asked to give 10 rupees over a period of time. Stephen was asked to labor in love in one chunk. Boom, gone. Paul was asked to give it in chunks throughout his life and he said, I am being poured out like an offering. Both was a labor of love. We don't know to what we are called. It may be a pouring out, most of us. Some people are just killed in the mission field or at home or whatever. I read the story of this mother in the old days where the child has diphtheria. And the doctor had said that, okay, you can be, no physical contact, anything, because if you catch it, you will die. And the child was dying. The little girl was dying, and as she was dying, she looked at her mother and said, Mom, just kiss me. Do you think the mother thought about the doctor's instructions? No, she didn't. She took the baby and kissed her, and a few days later, the mother died. One chunk gone. We are talking about different kinds of mothers of different kind of age. I need to sell it. Today we have mothers who outsource children. We're talking about a different age when motherhood meant something else, where it was a labor of love. Remember, motherhood is defined in the Bible. One day before the throne of King Solomon. Go and read that portion. And two women are laying claims over a baby. Motherhood is defined over there, where the real mother says, let the baby live, I give up my rights, though she is the real mother. While the other one says, let the baby die, make it into two pieces. How about it? Today we become mothers and you are willing to let the children go into pieces so that we may pursue something which we think is so big. Real mothers will stand up and realize it's a labor of love. I'm going to be on my knees and on my feet for this child until I see him or her grow and save in the house of God, in the kingdom of God. It's a labor of love. Until then, I'm not going to get up from my knees. God is asking us, how do we labor? Because very few are called to spend out their life in one chunk. Everybody is called out to pour it out. John 15 and verse 13, Jesus says, the spiritually is greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Now you know why love is a labor? Because the world teaches us to take up life. God teaches us to lay down life. The whole thing about the world is connected. World is connected with taking up life. It's not about laying down, not about losing. Everything is about taking up. Every advertisement is focused on taking up life. And every time you see one of that, you always have to make a choice. I buy that, I can take up. If I choose to give that money away, lay down my life. I be there, I can have fun. I choose not to be there and to be found here, I'm laying down my life for my brother. Maybe I don't even need to be there, but I need to be there for my brother's sake. I need to be there for my brother or my sister's sake. Because I will stand up and say, I am my brother's keeper. Why in the world people become rich and miserable, while in the kingdom people are poor and blessed? And Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. We labor in love, we overcome our hearts to wash stinking feet. We will never hesitate to get our hands dirty. And when you wash feet, you need to realize you also need to wash between the toes. Tried washing between the toes? You know what? Jesus is still in the feet cleaning business. That part of the body, remember, God has kept it as far as away from the nose as possible. Jesus goes on his knees and brings it as close as to his knees as possible. That stinking part of our lives. What nobody else can see and smell, it reaches his nostrils. Part of our life. We want to hide it from everybody, so we put nice socks and shoes, cover it under the garb of religion, fig leaves, whatever you want to call it. But Jesus says, that's the part of life that is before me, and I want to clean that up. Part of the body, the mind, that takes you into the world, the feet of the mind. He says, I don't know where. I would say, I don't know where you have been. But God says, I know. I know the roads each one of us has taken through the week and how we have come into my house today. That's when Ephesians 5 verse 26, he says, I am still in the washing business. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Our feet of our mind took us to a whole lot of places. The only place where it can get cleansed is not by your pastor, it's by the word. Nothing else cleans those stinky feet. Every Sunday, every Monday, every Wednesday, every second Saturday, every third Saturday, as far as Grace Tabernacle is concerned, Jesus kneels before each one of us, towel wrapped around his waist, and takes our feet in his hands, and it is a labor of love. Your pastor doesn't do that. And he tells us, show me your feet. And the question God asks is in verse 8. Do we respond like Peter? Verse 8. Next we are looking at. And Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Shall never wash my feet. And Jesus also responded, if I don't wash your feet, you shall have no part with me. Did you get it? Jesus is doing there more than washing feet. If it is just washing feet, why should Jesus washing Peter's feet make Peter a part of him?
How many mothers are here, parents are here, who all washed its baby's feet? Are they all part of you now? So he's not talking about physical washing here. He's talking about more. He says it's just an act. It's just a symbol of something more. He says, if you do not allow me to constantly wash the feet of your mind, that portion of your soul that goes out and comes back and goes out and comes back and gets filthy in the world and comes back, if you don't allow me to wash it constantly by the washing of the water of my word, he says, you see, you cannot have a part with me. There is a contradiction. Verse 6 and verse 13. Six first. He came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? And verse 13. Call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. We didn't get it. Whenever the term Lord is used in the Bible, that means if I am Lord and he calls me Lord, that means he belongs to me, body, soul. He is my property. That's what Lord means. So it's a contradiction when Peter says, Lord, you can't wash my feet. Are you getting the picture? The picture is that if I am Lord, how dare you say no? It's a contradiction over there. How dare you say no? You cannot say no to your Lord. Your wish is my command. I may like it. I may not like it. I may not be happy with it. I may not be pleased with it. But it's got nothing to do with that. The thing is that you are Lord. And I cannot go against your desire. If your desire is to wash my feet, it should be the other way. Your desire should be I wash your feet. But even if it is reversed, that's what I do. I give my feet to you. Why? Because you are Lord. Getting it? Now you look back into scripture and see what it says in the book of Romans. If you believe in your heart, with your heart, the Lord Jesus Christ, and confess with you, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. It didn't say Jesus Christ. Romans 10, right? 9. When real salvation comes. We are working toward this salvation. Saved, getting saved, will be saved. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. What? Confess with your mouth what?
Lord.
Jesus, the Lord. The Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. And believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. You will be saved. See, when it is coming to believing, you just have to believe God raised him from the dead. But when it comes to confessing, you need to confess he is Lord. That is where we struggle. We say, you remember what Jesus said? Many will come to me that day saying, Lord, Lord. He said, I do not know you. I do not know you. How come you call me Lord, Lord, but you didn't obey anything that I said? If I was Lord, then how come you did not obey? Only we have it. We realize it's much deeper than what we looked at. He's looking at his disciples and says, rightly you say, I am Lord and teacher. That's all right. Not that I need your commendation or anything for that, whether you accept it or not, I am Lord. That's why scripture says, post-rapture, one day every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess, whether you like it or not, believer or unbeliever, Gentile, Jew or Christian, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, Jesus is Lord. But blessed are those who will confess now. Because his lordship is never in dispute. It's never in dispute. What is in dispute is my servanthood. That's the one that's always in dispute. Jesus' lordship is never in dispute. Because that's not something which we gave him. We did not vote him to the throne. What is at dispute is my servanthood. That's what I dispute. Now we will not go further and make a lot of people uncomfortable by telling you, read Peter chapter 2, where it says, sisters, this is the heart you should have, like Sarah, the only wife who's commended in the New Testament, who called her husband Lord. Suddenly we run into trouble with feminism and gender equality and everything goes down the drain. Suddenly you realize, God says, you know what, I'm talking to you about spiritual principles over here.
He is Christ, you are the church. He is your Lord. Therefore, do not get married to an unbeliever. You will have a Lord from the wrong place. Think it? He will be Lord, but not the kind of Lord you expected. He won't be a servant king in your life. Leave it there, otherwise we'll make people uncomfortable. So the question God asks is, are you willing to serve? Do you want to really labor in love? There are two sides, or three sides actually. One, we need to be willing to serve. It's a labor. Second, we also need to be willing to be served. The other disciples are not saying anything. Only Peter is saying, no, not my feet. They probably were sitting, otherwise would have been playing a hopping. Every time Jesus came, he'll say, not this feet. That's how believers act. No, I will give, but I will not take anything from anybody. I'm spiritually independent. Hearing it? There are a lot of spiritually independent members in the body, but then how can you be a member? Explain it. Members of my body. Is there anyone which is spiritually independent? You know what? If any of this member becomes independent, that member will die. So it's not enough that I serve. I also should be willing to receive service. And when you say, I don't want, you're not being humble. You're being proud. The root of it is not humility. The root of it is actually pride. But I will not call anybody for prayer. Even if I am ill, I would rather die than call another brother or sister to pray for me. I don't want. And very nicely, if you ask them, brother, why didn't you call me when you were sick? Oh, I didn't want to trouble you. That was not the real reason. That is never the real reason. How is it troubling making a 60-second call? Say, please pray for me. When scripture says call and get prayed over. It has not anything to do with trouble. It's basically the root of it is pride. I will not take help. But you know what? Jesus says this is the body. Everybody needs help. I need help. Jesus needed help. So how much more does everybody? Jesus is telling Peter, please wake up and pray for me. I'm going through the test of my life. Just tarry for me 1 hour. I need your help. This is Jesus. Every letter practically Paul says, I thank you for your prayers. I thank you for prayers. Thank you for upholding me. I need your prayers. I need. And then suddenly within the body we become people who says, no, you can't wash my feet. God says, you know what? You think you are humble. Let me tell you, you are not humble. You are proud. And proud people cannot have a part with me. You think you don't need the church. God says, it's wrong. Everybody needs the church. Everybody needs everybody. There is no independent members in the church. Everyone is connected together. Suddenly we realize it's not the way we thought. And the third one is the third category of people who think they are not good enough to either serve or to be served. I'm not good enough. Pastor will never call me for anything. And if pastor calls me, no, pastor, God never gifted me with anything. There is nothing I can do properly. That is neither pride nor humility. Just no self-esteem at all. Just a pity party. But Milton wrote in his famous sonnet on his Ode to Blindness, he said, they also serve who stand and wait. One of English's greatest poets, and is going blind. You know what? When you're going blind and what only you do is right, you are fearing. You are fearing. That's his right place. You are fearing what will happen to me. What will I do? And his response to his blindness, his Puritan believer's response to his blindness is that even if I do nothing else with my life and all I do is stand, they also serve God who just stand. As long in your standing, you are still keeping God up there in your life. Are you getting it? Don't make these excuses. Excuses we have for not laboring in love either with God or with men and women. Why we encourage you to go to prisons, to the hospital ministry, to the juvenile homes. It's a labor of love. I'm telling you, ask the ones who go to the hospital. You may go to 20 people, 10 of them will say, "Christian, don't pray for me." Am I right? Do everybody say, "Oh, please, brother, I was waiting for you, please pray over me"? No, many of them say, "Don't come to my bed. I don't want your Isa, I don't want your God." They're quite rude. Quite rude. But it is a labor of love. So you still go to the next bed. You still go to the next bed. And one gets touched. Next week you go again, another one gets touched. Third week you go, the first one who said you don't come over, he says, "Will you please pray over me?" But most budding ministers give up after the first minute, first visit, because they only saw the response of the first one, because it was supposed to be only a walk of faith and not a labor of love. Oh, I am walking by faith. I'm going to lay hands and a miracle is going to happen. God says, nothing is going to happen. You know what? I'm teaching you something else. This is a labor of love, not just a walk of faith. Labor of love. Evangelism, same thing. God might tell you to go to somebody. You knock on the door, they bang the door at your face. And God tells you, go back there. You go back again. You go back again. They may even lock the door from outside. I'm talking about real experiences. But God said, go. So you go. Or you go and sit there. The wife doesn't tell the husband. The husband invited you. The wife doesn't even let the husband know that you are there. And you're waiting. Half an hour, 45 minutes. Because you will not refuse to leave. And the wife will not let you in. But you know what? The Lord said, go. This is not a work of faith. Because a work of faith means you go there, ring the bell, "Hallelujah, brother, I was waiting for you." And you pray, miracle takes place, you take your offering and you go back home. That's what they teach you now. That's not scripture. Scripture says it's a labor of love. They had to go on and keep on going on and keep on going on. You know why? Because this is a God who says, that's exactly what I did. A labor of love for 4,000 years. And never let go of my people. And when nothing else worked, I said, okay, let me step down now. And he stepped into our midst. He came into our midst. And then he's teaching his disciples. After 3.5 years, you know what? Peter, John, Matthew, Bartholomew, Thomas and all. I'm going to go in a few hours' time. You still haven't got the lesson. Can you feel how frustrated a teacher will feel after he's taught a class for 3 years and they still haven't got the lesson? I have a wonderful saying in Malayalam. Rathri mudiya Ramayanam kadichittu ravile Seetha aaranu choichu. Understood? Whole night heard the story of Ramayana, in the morning asked, who is Sita? There are students like that. See, you didn't get the lesson. Peter, you didn't get the lesson. Thomas, you didn't get the lesson. I was trying to teach you. It was not about the miracles. That was just a sign. What I was trying to teach you, this is a labor of love. Whether you don't give up. You simply don't give up. And there are 12 pairs of feet. And one pair is the pair that is going to betray him. You think he left that feet? You think he washed that feet with lesser effort? Probably with more. Special pair of feet for Jesus. And I am very sure about the Jesus, I understand from the Bible, that he gave it special attention. The feet of Judas. Reason? Because he knew this was the last time in all eternity he was going to see that pair of feet. But he says in John 13 and verse 18, I speak not to all of you. I do not speak concerning all of you. Did you get it? He says, I'm not talking to
I'm not talking about all of you. He says, my word, I know most everyone won't receive. But that means I will not deny my labor of love for everybody. You, ask this question. Ask this question. How could Judas be with him daily for 3.5 years? Listen to all those messages, not preached by Pastor James, by the most high and reverend Lord Jesus Christ, preached by Jesus for 3.5 years. Seen all the miracles and be unmoved. Scary? Scary. How if we are caught in the same position? We have heard and heard and heard and witnessed and heard testimonies, and we hear everything that the Lord is doing, and actually deep inside we are not moved. But you want to experiment it, next time you go for a vacation to the beach, take a bottle, tight it na tight lid lagalo, and throw it into the ocean. If you're lucky, 10 years from now, you may get that bottle back from some other country. Because the water did not get in. A bottle floating in an ocean with all the water in the world, not a drop gets in. A heart sealed like that with anger, bitterness, jealousy, unforgiveness, even if it floats in an ocean of love, is unmoved. Moved. Did not stop Jesus from loving Judas and washing his feet. You see, Jesus cared for Judas. Judas cared only for Judas. Different kinds of love mentioned in the Bible. Only one kind of love that is from God. John 13 and verse 29a, scripture says, some thought because Judas had the, what did he have? Jesus Christ's ministry's official treasurer was Judas. He had the money box. Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. And verse 10. You have to be fast, which. So, about another love. You don't know what it is? The love of money is the root. Yeah, 1 Timothy. Love of money is the root of all evil. Now, this is not love of God or love of man. It's the love of money. Love of money. The root. Did it come up there? And God is saying, what are we? Are we a lover of God and a lover of man, or a lover of money? 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 2. Judas cared for money. He was a lover of money. Judas was a lover of himself. Men shall be lovers of themselves. Judas was a lover of himself. John chapter 3, 19. John chapter 3, 19. God talks about other kinds of lovers. 3 and verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men loved lovers of darkness. Lovers of darkness. Now you want to read John chapter 13 and verse 30? Lovers of darkness. 13, 1-3. People can become lovers of darkness. And having received the piece of bread from Jesus, that is Judas, he then went out immediately. And it was night. The lover of darkness ultimately goes into darkness. Into night. He never comes back out of that darkness. Just remember, making decisions in the dark is dangerous.
Matthew 24:12.
Because of lawlessness will abound, and the love of many will grow.
It's a misnomer, what is called cold love.
That's what Jesus says. You want to be in the kingdom, your love should be hot, not lukewarm. Cold love, lukewarm love is unacceptable in the kingdom. It's not a mark or the trait of the kingdom. There's another one, John chapter 12, verse 43. They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Are you getting it? My wife says, don't go to church, I'm not going to church. Because if I go to church, then my wife will be angry with me when I go back. I prefer her praise to God's praise. Ask my daddy, can I go to church? Daddy will get upset. So I would rather keep daddy happy than keep the heavenly daddy happy. I'm talking about simple, practical on our day-to-day. But you put it at a bigger level, you will see it affects everywhere. We love the praise of men than the praise of God. Therefore, we refuse to take a stand. And we say, in India, it's not possible. You don't know, it is not possible to witness. Let me tell you. This guy applied for a passport. And we all know what applying passport is. When the policeman comes for verification, what he expects. Everybody knows it. He said, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I will never give you anything. I am more scared of my God. If I give you anything, God, my God will punish me. He said, I have never seen a Christian like that. Please, sir, let me go. Take your passport. Look at the easy way out. Rene, though, he's after all doing his hard labor. He brought it to my house. We make all these excuses. You know why? Because you want the praise of men. And we slip him that money. And he gives you the passport. And we condole ourselves. You know what? I'm trying to help a poor policeman. You don't want to take a tough stand. What happens at government offices? Now we are looking at Anna Hazare to rescue us. The problem is not at the top. The problem is in our hearts. And we think if the top is clean, everything will be clean. Nothing is going to be clean. That's why there is no cleanliness that is going to come until our hearts are clean. And we love the praise of God and not the praise of men. So, okay, fine. I don't have a house, I own a house. But I'm not going to bribe to get my plan sanctioned. I don't have a license, I don't have a license. I would rather live without a license than have a license for which I paid. You know what? We want the praise of men, not the praise of God. No wonder people choose other churches. 1 John chapter 2 verse 15. What Indira Gandhi said once, interesting quote. My grandfather once told me there are only two kinds of people, one who do the work and the ones who take the credit. He told me to be in the first group and there was less competition there. John 2:15. Do not love the world or the things. Remember, we'll always come back to things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. These are portions we are very careful and spiritual not to read. Not love the world or the things in the world. Have you seen scuba divers, underwater sea divers? They dive down. Have you seen them breathing there? To breathe, they got a pipe going up. Or from the tank. Or that pipe that is connected to the boat and they're breathing from there. We will come spiritually, holy, we will sing, this is the air I breathe. God says, I smell of the world there.
Oh God.
Lot of world over there. The one who is underwater knows which air he is breathing. The one who is born from above, Jesus says, when you are in this world, but not of it, he knows which air he or she is breathing. Jesus were to come to our house today, what is the air he would breathe? Don't misunderstand. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with things. Scripture says, if you receive it with thanksgiving,
Our God gives us all good gifts. It should be God given, okay? God gives us good gifts and we receive it thanksgiving. It is holy, it is sanctified. There's a difference between that and running after things. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4. Men shall be lovers of pleasure than lovers of God. Honestly, most Christians spent more time reading the newspaper than their Bible. Cover to cover. And they will boast also about it. Brother, when I read the newspaper, I read it from cover to cover. Brother, you have been a believer for 50 years. Have you still read your Bible cover to cover? No, brother. Lovers of pleasure. TV, newspaper. What about getting dressed? It takes longer than our morning meditation. Football, cricket, baseball? No, brother. I'm into theater. There are some people who are also, so he says, I'm into nothing. That also is a pleasure. Sitting and doing nothing is a lover of pleasure. You see why labor of love, it's called labor of love? Because there is so much competition for the real thing. In the middle of all these loves, God is standing there and He has to compete in our hearts for all these. Love of money, love of self, love of pleasure, love of darkness, all these loves. And then God comes and says, love God with all your heart, all your might, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And we struggle. You know what Jesus' last recorded words to Judas was? Matthew 26, verses 48 and 50. It will shock you when you read that words. While he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, a great multitude with swords and clubs to take one man, came from the chief priests and the elders of the people, and of his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him. Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? Remember earlier had said, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. He didn't take his words back. He said, friend, why have you come? Last recorded words of Jesus to Judas. Getting the heart of this God, how he has labored and still labors in love for each one of us, and how we make these excuses for saying, I don't have time for you or for your wife. You think the prayer request that is brought before us, he doesn't listen to in every church? Listens. He's got time for anything and everybody. But we don't want to be a part of this. We want our prayers to be answered, but we don't want to really pray and labor for others. God is asking us. Even before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. You know what it actually means to us? We think about a great calling. No. For me personally, it is this. Even before I became a believer, every time I had a breakthrough, God was intervening on my behalf, though I did not know Him. Because He loved me. And even when I did not know Him at all, and I would get to know Him 10 years from now, He was still laboring in love for me. Like a mother would do for a child she hasn't seen, but is in her womb. He is laboring in love for me. Think about all the instances in our life before we know God. Just think. I know one incident which Lord much time later told me, do you remember that incident? I said, yes. He said, I was there. It's an incredible incident. One of the most scary days of my life. I was just They are less younger than probably Eric. And I was traveling from Kerala to Bhutan. Those days in the 80s alone. I used to get any break, go. And I get down at Siliguri, take a rickshaw, cycle rickshaw. Okay, we are simple people. Cycle rickshaw to the bus stop. And I'm standing there with the bag. There are only two buses, one in the morning and one in the night, evening. And it is like 100 kilometers away. And I look into my pocket, my wallet. I have only 5 rupees. And the fare is 6 rupees 50 paise. I am short 1 rupee 50 paise. 1 rupee 50 paise in those days will mean 30 kilometers. Phone, those days, no cell phone, no friends, nobody there. I'm standing literally there in no man's land. 1 rupee. I can't even say, get into that government bus and say, give me a ticket for 5 rupees. Get. I can't even walk. I'd walk 30 kilometers, go down a mountain, cross the river, climb up the mountain before I can reach my father's school. Standing there, not knowing, just a teenager, not knowing what to do. Then I turn around, I see a man, looked familiar. I thought, did I see him in the train? I go to him and I say, sir, can you give me 2 rupees? He said, of course, 2 rupees. And I reached home. Years later, the Lord said to me, I sent him. Even before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. This is the real God. It's the real God we serve, who says, your beginning and your end I know. I have labored in love for you. Our mornings and our nights, everything He knows. And think our response. There's so much difference in loving this God and laboring in it. Not at the level of emotions. I want to look at Isaiah 46, if I'm right. Isaiah 46, verse 4 and 5. I pray it's the right verse. Even, listen to me, house of Jacob. And all that remain of the house of Israel, who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am He. And even to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and I will deliver you. Awful portions in the scripture. From the womb till your last gray hair falls, I will carry you. Not even our parents will do that. When you are ready to walk, they will push us. No more carrying. It's hurting my shoulders. God says, no. That's why I'm telling you, like a man of God said, there is no sluggard worse than a spiritual sluggard. And I'm not going to let go of you easily from the pulpit. Please remember, until your work of faith and labor of love will result in patience of hope. I'm not going to let you off. You can get angry with me. You can get offended with me. You may go into, because you know what? I will not give up hope as long as you are inside this. Some of you may go into hibernation like the polar bear. But I will still trust one day you will wake up. Because today's blind Samson might be the one God uses tomorrow to break down the pillars of godlessness. God didn't give up on Samson, though he was disqualified. Because today's stuttering, fumbling Moses could be the one God uses to rescue a nation tomorrow. And don't call Noah a fool because you don't understand what he's doing. Because tomorrow you may need a lift when the waters rise. The only one who had a boat was Noah. And Peter, who denied Jesus at today's fire, was the one who proclaimed Jesus with fire on the day of Pentecost. You know why? Because Jesus did not give up on any one of them. Why am I telling basically to young generation? Because there is a young generation that struggles with commitment. Because you have all these other loves.
beckoning you through a thousand media. The older generation were better off. They didn't have so many things that called their attention. But those younger ones of you, there's so many things that is calling you. You are too involved. Even with your work, even with your work. Jesus never said, love your work. He said, love God, love your neighbor. But when you work, work it as you work unto the Lord. How do you work unto the Lord? It's a labor of love. Through your work, you're loving God and loving the people who have been placed around you. You'll never forget that. You'll never forget that. We think it's all about work. It's the world that says work is worship. God says, no, I am the only one who will be worshipped. Your work should be a labor of love. In the work that you do, you're loving God and you're loving the people who have been put around. Ask, is it a labor of love? You get offended when you hear testimonies. But sometimes I never know. Then God says, why are you worried about people, what they think? When I tell you to say something, you say it. Almost 25 years ago, when I was just a simple believer, didn't have a church, didn't have anybody to preach to me, didn't have any CDs, there were no CDs those days, no tapes, messages to get uplifted with. I had never heard a real sermon in my life then. Just got saved. Had a good news Bible. Now graduated to higher things. Young, like probably your age, Yash, Shakina and all. My results, before my results came, I get a job. My first job. That's the last time I took money from my parents. From that day, I've been free. On a cold wind, almost 25 years ago. I was young then, okay, not like this. I landed up on a real cold, wintry night in the month of February in Thimphu. With my suitcase and my bed holder. I know how many of you wonder, how many of you know what a bed holder is? Old days, army people carried this thing. And it was just as big as this. I have never crossed 50 from then till now. I'm not talking about my age, I'm talking about my weight. Okay. No coolies, nothing. Didn't even know that place. Because I never grew up in Thimphu, I grew up somewhere else. And I struggled with that. Ask my children, why is that one old suitcase is still in my house and I refuse to throw it away? Its zip has gone, I put a cover on it, carry it with me because I know where I began. It reminds me of something else which God did in my life. Just a simple small believer. All I had, a couple of books I bought from a small little Christian bookstore outside in the border of one of the books I just got back last week. Somebody had borrowed it years back and came back through Rishi. And I looked at it and said, wow, I was always looking for this book. Three books. And there I go to work in my first school. I don't know how many of you have been teachers. And how many have been teachers when you are in your early 20s? 5 divisions. Over 150 students. And that to English paper 1 and paper 2. That means all you do is correct, correct, correct. Unit test, quarterly, whatever, all these things come. On top of that, you have to cook breakfast, lunch, dinner. There's no restaurant in this small little place. Vegetables come from India only once a week. The only vegetables you get is onions, tomatoes and potatoes, nothing else. A year's supply, you better buy from the border and bring it when you come. And you cannot rush away, escape from your work or anything. The only time is when your annual vacation comes. And you have these children, I would say, if you ask me what kind of children, they were tribal kids. More like our Grace Home children, all came from broken homes. Traumatic experiences. First times generation coming to school. You know what? I loved those children. Really, really, really loved my children. I ate, drank, taught everything with them. I was with them morning till night. And I loved my students. It was not easy. It was difficult. Why I'm telling you is that because the Lord told me, I need to tell you this, and told me the reason why He called me to ministry. 2 years with them. It was tough. 6 in the morning, you have to be there for study duty. And I'm telling you, you can't see your road. You have to go carefully because of the fog and the mist. You have to go from your quarters down the mountain to the school, and 6 to 7 is duty. Then you come back home, you heat water using that immersion heater, shave, bathe, and then go to school by 8. And then you teach 6 hours on a stretch. Then you come back home and you may even have evening duty. 30 of us teachers and almost 20 of them were Indians. But you know what? I was so involved with the kids, they became hostile. Because they said, you're overdoing it. But so many people look at their job as a profession. Go teach and come back, get your salary and come back. But God hasn't called us to go like that and come back. He's saying it's about people. This is about people. It's a labor of love. It's a labor of love. Weekends, you don't have an off because the children are all there in my quarter. Even when I am sleeping, they are there. They are through your books, through your tape recorder, through your food. They're all there. Through it all, they were there. Any problem over there in the school, it comes back to me. Though I am a new teacher and all the others are senior. You have a young, new principal. And finally, he found that problems which he couldn't tackle, take it to Sir James because he can talk to the students. And a serious disciplinary issues happens in boarding schools. So when a boy has to be expelled or coming close to the being expelled, I am the mediator. And he's just probably a year younger or older to me. It always worked. Because you know what? Love always works. You know that? All I had to do was call the boy to my office, to my home and give him one. I said, how can you do this? That's enough. I'm sorry, sir. I said, go apologize. No, I will. I said, if I said that, would you apologize to me? Yes, sir. So it's the same thing. It's another teacher. Just go do it. That's all it took. 2 years. Worked, slogged like never in my life have slogged like that. You don't get anything out of this. Please understand. This is simply because in my heart, my God was saying, these kids don't know what love is. They have no parents. And all of them are non-Christians, Buddhists. Not a single Christian. It's not loving your brother. Okay? It's no brother or sister there. At the end of 2 years, I had to leave to come to Hyderabad to study again. I cried. They cried. They wept. I wept. I simply didn't want to leave them. And I still remember when I was finally leaving, they were weeping. They were weeping. And all the Indian teachers were hostile. They said, oh, they're just make. It's just a show. You know the comments you get? Just a show. So if it's a show, it's a show. Because I was upset I was leaving them. I still remember 3 months later, I had to go back to take part of my bedding and my luggage I had left there. And they didn't know I had reached. And that same little ale like this down the mountain at night, I was walking along with them. They had no clue I had reached in the afternoon, and I was walking along with them, and it is dark. And they're going to the auditorium. And you have small little lights on the way. And I was passing through one light in this crowd of students. One student saw my face. Said, Sir James. Just like stampede, the whole line stopped and they started rushing back. And it's the side of a mountain, the matrons, the wardens were scared, the children would fall down the hill. The whole thing stopped. They came back all over me. They cried, they wept, and they said, Father, how could you leave us? I had to leave. I left. I came. Hyderabad, studied everything, went on mission to Assam. Remember, no phone. No internet, no letters, nothing. I have lost all contact with them. Next time I go to Bhutan, 10 years later as a missionary. And I don't know anybody. 10 years is a long period of time. And I'm at the border. I come over there. I look through their telephone book saying, is there anybody I know? But you need to realize in Bhutan, all the names are a combination of 5 or 6 names. Dorji Karma, Karma Dorji, Sharing Lam, Lam Sharing, it's all the same. So you could have one name in the same phone book, it's all the same. You don't even know who they are. I looked in Rook Airways and I saw one person. I said, sounds like
my student. So I called up the Drukhoi Air office and said, I talked in their language, Sharing Lam Dula. I asked them, who is there? And they said, Sharing Lam. They said, Sharing, the usual Bhutanese way, calling. And Sharing comes and I said, I asked her, are you Sharing Lam? And she said, yes. I said, did you study in this school? She was wondering, what kind of a booking office is this? Okay, call at this. She said, yes. I said, I'm Sir James. There was silence and there was a scream. Okay, so she said, where are you, sir? I said, I'm calling from the border town. I'm coming tomorrow to Thimphu. I couldn't tell what I was coming for because they were all unbelievers. I couldn't tell them, I'm coming on mission. I don't know the church. God said, go, and I'm coming. I said, tomorrow evening bus, I'll be there in the night. Can you just book a room for me in any one of the decent hotels and tell me what it is? Next day, I get into my bus. It's a long trip. By night, I reach Thimphu. I get off this ordinary bus with my bag and my suitcase. I'm telling you, 10 years later, it's a whole line of cars. All my students are waiting. Sir James has come back. They were there. They carried my luggage. They took me. They checked me into the hotel. I said, I'm here only for 1 week. And I said, I cannot give you any day. I cannot tell you what I come from. Come on, very serious, important work. They said, one day, sir, one day. I said, okay, Thursday night. They said, Thursday night. Thursday night, they came to my hotel, the whole lot. They had booked then the most expensive hotel in Thimphu, the ballroom, and they had girls who were my students, their husbands dropped them. The husbands who were my students, they came alone. They said, no spouses who was not taught by Sir James, only the children were allowed. And there was this whole crowd over there, and they introduced, sir, this is your granddaughter, this is your grandson, this is your grandchild, and one night, one dinner with them. It doesn't work with unbelievers. It works. It works. That's why my Facebook has such serious security settings. It's only for my students. Only they log into my Facebook. 25 years have passed by. They're still my children. And recently the Lord told me, next time you go, you're going to get all the unbelieving one. Now is the season to give them the gospel. Now they need to know why you love them. I'm telling you, it works. It's a labor of love. I'm telling young people sitting over here who've been called to ministry, it's a labor of love. It's not just a walk of faith, it's a labor of love. It takes time, it takes investment. You may lose 2 years of your career, 3 years of your career in the process. You know what? Now when I fly in, now I fly, okay? God has been merciful those days, bus and rickshaw and all, now I fly. And you need to fly by Drukhoi. When you fly by Drukhoi, it's tourists only. Only one airline flies in. And all these big shot, moneyed Americans, Japanese come for tourism to Japan. And they're all in first class and economy, all filled with tourists. Among them, there will be one Indian, me, sitting there. You know what? The air hostess comes and kneels down beside me. A simple kid holds my hand and shows a photograph of a child saying, sir, you're visiting us, right? Because they're all my students. I get off the air flight, no customs check, nothing. My students take the baggage, sir, Nigilopain, this is our sir, no customs, no checking, they take me through. It's God, it's just God. It is just God. You need to realize there is price involved with the church and even with the world. In these secular spaces where you are kept, God has kept us in secular spaces not to work. Not to work. That is just a means. So that those secular spaces will be a labor of love. There they will know. This God, this man was talking about was real. You know why I told this testimony? He said, remember David? I said, yes, Lord. Do you know why I handed the kingdom to him? I said, why, Lord? Because he was faithful with the sheep his father had given him. You were faithful with those 150 students I gave it to you when you were as young as them and I was watching you. Have you dealt with them? And I knew when the season came, I could commit my church into your hands. Let the call pass you by. Church, don't let your call pass. It's not about walk of faith of doing miracles. It's much more than that. That's where scripture says, work of faith, labor of love, And then patience is worked in, and you look forward, and you know, you have hope. Because you have labored in love. Those who have walked by faith alone is still not very sure. If you ask them, how do you know I am going to, you will get a crown. I did this. You ask the other person, he will say, I know. Why? Because I loved all through. And it was not a feeling. It was not a feeling. And let me tell young kids sitting over here, in your work of faith, don't forget to love those young ones to whom you are giving the transcripts and the messages you are ministering and you are mentoring. Don't forget, it will cost you. It may cost you a whole month's salary. The students knew whom to come to when they needed money. All knew. It will cost you money. Understand this. It's how it works. The kingdom works. That's why Jesus said, all this you can have. You don't love. It's just an empty gong. And sometimes the worst testimony, church, I'm using the general term church for the whole worldwide church, puts across is a testimony that we don't care. We don't care. And I'm telling you, everybody sitting here, almost everybody except for a few who are not in ministry full time, you've been put in your places to be a testimony. Maybe you are a teacher. I hope you are a teacher. 10 years from now, you wouldn't know where our kids would end. Look at a young boy sitting here. Where is he? There. You know this little one? He's from Grace Home. We have a little concept school over there. He's the only one who has crossed that and reached a normal school. St. Michael's, right? Do you know any exam he has topped in his class? 90 plus or 95 plus in every subject? Doesn't it give you hope, you teachers who labor? I hope you are laboring in love and it's not a work. Doesn't it give when one of these kids actually go into the public square and compete and come as the top? I heard the news, I was thrilled. Thrilled with it. Honestly, we tell, I don't know which would have been more thrilled if I heard my son came first in the class or John Manohar came first in the class. I don't think I would have been so thrilled because my son has every facility possible. Parents who are educated and bend backwards to please them and all that. When you hear one of these kids, that's why when I hear one of those kids who came from those tiny villages, no electricity, no power, no water, nothing. You need to see some of those villages in Bhutan. From there they come. And they are loved. And they study. And they excel. And then you go back 10 years later and say, what are you doing? Oh, I'm in the customs. I'm a lawyer. And what are you doing? I'm in the Royal Bhutan Insurance Corporation. I'm an officer. Don't you feel good? You feel good. You feel good. Praise God. This is a God. A God who said, from then I'm carried. Now he's telling me, you did all that, you loved them, now you need to give them the gospel. You need to give them the gospel. Now they are ready, they are ripe to hear the gospel. You ask my children, every time I have visited Bhutan, from the time I came into missions, I have never let my students know I am in Bhutan. It was only for the church. Now he said, next time you go, remember it is for your old students and not for the church. God is a good God. This is what we call job satisfaction. This is job satisfaction. Not I got an increase or a paycheck or a bonus. There's no bonus, no pay. Paycheck actually went. Okay. I'm telling you. This is what God is calling us to. This is what God. Okay. In the midst of it, I'm telling you, whatever mistakes you make, you know what? I'm telling you honestly from scripture. When you make all these mistakes as you labor in love and work by faith, God says, you know what? I know because you loved and because I am also love, love covers a multitude of sins. I'll just cover all your failings for you because I knew you were working in love. And this was not about money or a career. That's when love covers a multitude of sins. Amen? Shall we pray? It's a good God. I love this God. Love serving this God. Oh, we thank you. We praise you, God. We worship you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. A God who labors in love for us.
That multitude stood there underneath that cross and mocked you. They mistook your groans for groans of pain. It was not groans of pain, God. It was birth pangs of a mother laboring in love and in pain, giving birth to your church. That's how you labored. That's how you labored on the cross in love for each one of us. The reason we are here, God, in your house this morning is simply because of Father, you labored in love for us. We have labored for our children only from the time we knew they were conceived. From everlasting to everlasting, you knew us. Even before you had created anything, you knew us. And your word says to God, you upheld us from birth and you carried us from the womb. Unto our old age, our gray hairs, you will still carry us. What you have entrusted into our hands, each one of us over here, is not work. It's not a career. It's lives. It's lives. I pray, Father, till the end, each one of us, wherever we are placed, be found faithful. Faithful, O God, of loving your children. Because your word says, God so loved the world, the unbelievers, all those who did not know you, you loved them, you died for them, and you rose again. Today, in your house, you're telling your church, now you have to finish that task. You need to lay down your lives and love the same people. Some may come, some may not. Some feet you wash, maybe the very feet that betray you. But you will wash them all. And you will love them all. At night when Jesus was in Pilate's court, the disciples might have huddled together. And while they were sitting, some of them must have stared down. But they must have noticed, why is my feet so clean today? It is clean today because he forgave me even before I had betrayed him. He had washed me clean of the guilt of betraying him. That night, their feet were uncommonly clean because he had washed it just a few hours earlier. Let's go back to the cross. Let us never forget the cross. It's all about the cross. It's all about the cross. We didn't sing from our heart this morning. Maybe when we go back home, we can sing from our heart. The old rugged cross. I want to cling to that cross. Because from that cross, my redemption. That blood, that precious blood from my Savior's side, from his hands and his feet, it washed my feet clean. For his disciples, he used water. But for you and me, he used his blood. Oh Lord, I thank you for your blood. I thank you for your love. And I pray, God, help us in us. We don't have that power. But there are too many loves outside competing for us. But Father, I pray, you will help each one of us to labor in love for you and for our neighbor. Help us, O God, in our weakness. Thank you, Father. Thank you. We praise you, God. We worship you, God.
For in Jesus' precious name we pray. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of us. Amen.